Welcome to the Landy Law Letter, where protecting your law practice is topic one. Get the facts from leading experts on professional liability and risk management practices.
Welcome to the Landy Law Letter. We're glad you could listen today. I'm John Altorvi from the Herbert H. Landy Insurance Agency of Needham, Massachusetts. And in this edition of the Landy Law Letter, we'll take a look at medical malpractice law and law firm management. Our guest today is Patrick Barry, a trial lawyer at the firm Maueritz & Barry Limited in Providence, Rhode Island. Attorney Barry concentrates his practice on complex personal injury litigation, handling mostly catastrophic injury, wrongful death, and medical negligence cases. Patrick is also the 2009-2010 president of the Rhode Island Association for Justice, a statewide organization of 400 civil justice trial attorneys. Welcome to the Landy Law Letter, Patrick.
Thank you very much, John. I'm happy to be here.
For our listeners out there who are unfamiliar, what is considered medical malpractice law?
Well, medical malpractice law is really just applying the general rules of negligence to the medical profession. All medical professionals, whether they're doctors or nurses, midwives, or even medical facilities like a hospital or a walk-in clinic, are all required to adhere to various standards of care and how they deliver medical care and a certain level of professionalism in their practice. If they fall below that level of care and it causes injury to a patient, they can be held responsible under certain circumstances in a civil lawsuit. So everybody talks about medical malpractice, and you hear a lot about medical malpractice, but it really just means negligence in the delivery of any type of medical care.
Are med mal cases difficult to pursue?
They are. They're very time intensive, meaning that there's a lot of time commitment required from the attorneys involved. They're very expensive in terms of the costs that have to go into the case to get expert witnesses, gather medical records, take depositions, things like that. So between the time investment and the money investment, they can be very, very difficult for a law firm or a small practitioner in particular to try to pursue. That's why you see most attorneys who do this type of work really specialize in it and try to design their practice around it, because it's very difficult to try to go after one of these cases alone and sort of fit it into a general practice type of law firm.
And what other challenges do you face when it comes to med mal cases?
Well, you do have to be concerned about the attorney's competency. And what I really mean by that is that the legal field has just become more and more specialized over the years. For instance, I do specialize in medical malpractice and other serious injury claims, but I don't do any trust and estate work, for example. I don't do any types of real estate closings. I don't do any type of advising business clients or setting up business organizations. I'm very highly specialized in this area, and there are other attorneys who are very highly specialized in other areas, which is entirely appropriate. But what that does mean sometimes is that an attorney could try to get involved in one of these cases and may find themselves in over their head because of the time commitment, because of the expenses, and because of the technical expertise. So you really do have to be concerned about whether an attorney has got the experience and the training and the resources to tackle this particular type of case. And if somebody is looking for a lawyer, or if a lawyer is looking into taking that type of case, they've really got to make a decision about whether that's the right decision.
Thanks, Patrick. Is holding a negligent healthcare provider accountable a huge challenge to a victim of a medical error?
I would say it is, John. I would also say, though, that typically it's not as big of a challenge as the injury that they're facing. You know, most of my clients are facing the biggest challenge of their life. They've either suffered a very serious injury as a result of some medical care, or they've lost a loved one. Say, you know, another family member has been killed, unfortunately. Or they're, you know, dealing with some permanent significant injury that is an unexpected and an unanticipated result of some other medical care they were getting. So that injury itself is generally one of the biggest challenges they've ever faced in their lives. And then when you add to that the prospect of trying to hold a healthcare professional accountable for that, it is an enormous challenge. The insurance companies for the doctors in the hospitals and the attorneys that defend them take these cases very, very seriously. They do not settle them easily. It's not like trying to pursue a slip and fall case or a rear-end car accident case. And it can be very challenging for the person involved. they often have to face the prospect of going through a year or two or maybe even 3 years of litigation, having their lives and their medical records examined and being challenged basically at every turn in a case like this. Now, that said, there are many times and for many reasons why it is not only appropriate but necessary to pursue somebody in a case like this.
Patrick, it sounds like there's a huge investment that goes into a med mal case. Can you tell us about what goes into such a case?
Sure. Every medical malpractice case, essentially everyone, needs to be reviewed by expert witnesses. So an attorney like myself who looks into doing these types of cases would, for instance, start an investigation by compiling the person's medical records, both relating to the care that is believed to have been negligent, as well as their other medical records regarding their other health conditions, which may somehow impact on that. So there's an initial money and time investment in just simply compiling the medical records, which can be very voluminous. And then you've got to get all that material reviewed by expert witnesses. And in medical negligence cases, those are invariably the same types of doctors or medical facilities or medical professionals that are involved in the claim. So you need to find a doctor who knows about that particular type of surgery, for instance, or you need to find a doctor who also delivers children if you're dealing with an obstetric type case. And they need to go through all of those medical records and look at all of the data and all of the information that was available to the doctors involved in the case. And they need to come to some at least preliminary decisions about whether there was negligence and whether that was the cause of an injury. Just doing that, John, can be enormously expensive. It can often take anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 just to get the medical records together and to have them reviewed initially. Once you get that sort of initial review, if you decide that you are going to proceed with a case and file suit, those expenses go up exponentially. It's not unusual for a complicated medical malpractice case to go through 2 or 3 years of litigation and to get to a trial for those expenses to exceed $50,000, maybe even $100,000 or more by the time the case is actually tried. So it really can be an enormous expense, and there's quite a bit of work and effort that goes into it.
So can you give us a real-life example of a med mal case you were or are currently involved in?
Well, it's difficult to talk about specific clients. There are confidentiality issues. I can tell you some of the types of cases that I'm involved in now and that I've done in the past. I do a lot of obstetrical cases, which means the management and care of women who are pregnant and the delivery of their children. And that really relates to, you know, managing women in the prenatal period when they're still pregnant through the delivery of the child and even into the, you know, early newborn period, the first few days or weeks of life. There are a host of problems that can come up during that entire period, and they often have devastating effects if the care is not handled correctly. I've also done a number of other medical negligence cases that involve children at other stages, which are very gratifying and very satisfying. Of course, I've got sort of what, for lack of a better word, could be considered run-of-the-mill cases, particularly like a surgical error, which happened quite frequently, or a medication error. Some of those are very glaring cases. You find sometimes that medications are simply given to the wrong patient. That patient never should have gotten that drug, but somebody wasn't paying close enough attention and gave somebody a drug that may have caused them very significant harm. Those are all cases that I'm involved in currently and have been involved in the past, and they kind of run the gamut of different types of medical malpractice cases. They could be from emergency room care to care at a walk-in clinic to surgical errors, medication errors, and any kind of errors in the delivery process for young children. I handle a lot of those cases.
What about the statute of limitations when it comes to med mal cases, Patrick? Should attorneys be cautious?
Yeah, they should. You know, these cases take a long time just to investigate. If you compare it to other types of cases, for instance, a client might walk into an attorney's office and say, I was in a car accident, you know, a week ago or a month ago, whatever it may be. It's pretty easy to know that there may be some fault in that case. The client may tell you that, you know, the other person ran a red light, or maybe they've got a police report with them that indicates there was a problem, that the other driver, you know, didn't drive their car correctly. It's very easy to just meet that client and quickly get that case into suit and start proceeding. You can't really do that with medical malpractice cases. One, you've really got to get the case reviewed and have a good basis for proceeding, meaning that an expert witness has told you that the case has merit, and that can take a great deal of time. And what I see from time to time is an attorney takes a case, they start an investigation, but they kind of let the case slip a little bit because it does take so long to investigate, and before they know it, the statute of limitations might be up upon them. And here in Rhode Island, where I practice, we've got a 3-year statute of limitations. There are some places where it's less than that. And if a practitioner is not very cognizant of that and isn't very aware that that statute may run quickly, they can find themselves with the case sort of spinning its wheels and not moving, and then suddenly the statute of limitations is up. And you also have to be concerned about the converse side of that, which would be getting a case and quickly putting it into suit without having done a thorough investigation. And both of those events can cause great deal of problems for practitioners.
Patrick, you touched on this a little earlier, but how important is specialized experience and skill when it comes to med mal law?
I think it's very important. I think that's the best way to avoid those two situations that I just brought up. You know, I've seen a lot of cases that come to me when an attorney has maybe put the case in suit very quickly, and sometimes with good reason. Maybe the statute of limitations is about to run, or maybe the client has given some facts that do suggest that something went very, very wrong, but they might put the case into suit very quickly and then find that they really don't have that specialized experience or training or knowledge in the area. And suddenly they find themselves coming up against deadlines or discovery requests, looking for expert witness information or explaining the technical nature of the claim. And sometimes I have those attorneys turn to me later in the case and ask for my assistance. So that specialized experience and that specialized knowledge, I think, is very, very important in these types of cases. It's just the same as, you know, going to a lawyer for highly specialized tax advice, say, or setting up a very particular type of business entity. You wouldn't want to just go to somebody who has sort of a general practice. When you get to a certain level of complexity, you really need somebody who has that specialized experience. And I think that any medical malpractice case is in that same area. If you want to do this type of work at all, you've got to make sure that you've got the experience and the knowledge and the resources to do it.
So what should an attorney do if he or she is lacking that experience?
I'd suggest they do the same thing that I do when I get somebody who calls me looking for, say, a trust in a state matter, or somebody who calls me looking for, say, real estate issues or something like that. I don't handle those, and I refer them to other attorneys. There's any number of people that I do know, particularly in my role now as president of the State Trial Lawyers Organization. I know a great number of attorneys who do other types of work that I don't do. And if I get a caller or a potential client who has that type of issue, I simply send them to somebody who does do that type of work. And I think that's probably the best idea for attorneys who maybe don't do medical malpractice cases, but now they've got a client who calls. That happens quite frequently. You know, people have their contacts in the community. They've got their family and friends. Maybe somebody within that circle of influence for them has had a medical malpractice issue, and they call some attorney who doesn't handle it. They really should try to refer that case to somebody who does do the work. And that also gives that first attorney the opportunity to stay involved in the case and generally even earn a referral fee as well.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. We need to take a break. When we return, we'll talk more about med mal law and law firm management with attorney Patrick Barry.
When it comes to knowing what professional liability insurance best fits your law firm, talk to the experienced team at Landy Insurance. Protecting lawyers and their businesses for over 60 years. Go to Landy.com for more or give us a call at 1-800-336-5422. Engage your brain. Keep up with the fast pace of the legal profession. Go to LegalTalkNetwork.com and listen to all of our great legal podcasts. They're free.
It's the office calling again.
Don't answer it.
Why not?
I'm listening to Legal Talk Network podcasts to get my CLE credit in West Legal Ed Center.
Oh, yeah. I need to do that, too. Where do I find them?
It's easy. Just go to LegalTalkNetwork.com and pick a program for CLE, click on it, and start listening. or go to westlegaledcenter.com and choose from any of the Legal Talk Network programs available for CLE.
That's perfect. The office can wait.
Welcome back to the Landy Law Letter on the Legal Talk Network. I'm your host, John Torvey, back with my special guest, Attorney Patrick Barry, a trial lawyer at the firm Mauritz & Barry Limited in Providence, Rhode Island. Let's talk about law firm management, Patrick. Did MedMal attorneys make the mistake of taking on too many cases or being understaffed? And how can these issues negatively impact the firm?
Well, any law firm that wants to do this work just has to be very careful about how they go about doing it. You do have to make sure that you've got appropriate staff and, say, procedures in place, and that you don't take too many cases. What you can end up with if you do have, say, either too many cases or not enough people to work on them or not enough resources to devote to them in terms of money available to handle the case expenses and that type of thing, you can, first of all, end up with unhappy clients, which nobody wants, but you can also end up with more serious problems. In particular, like we mentioned before, you have to be very cognizant of the statute of limitations. If you have too many cases in your office that aren't being aggressively investigated, you could end up with missing a statute of limitations, and that could be a major claim against the practice. You can also end up with just having so many cases in suit that they don't move quickly and end up with sort of delayed resolution of a client's claim. Again, that can result in very unhappy clients and could even result in a practice losing clients. So the best thing for attorneys to do that want to do this work is to be very selective about the cases they're taking and just make sure that their office is set up for undertaking these types of cases.
With technology being so vital in today's legal profession, are there special instances where you use technology in MedMal cases? Talk about how your firm uses it?
Yeah, we do. I think it's becoming more and more common. Some of the things we do here is we digitally scan and record all of the paper that goes in and out of the office. And for medical malpractice cases, that includes all the medical records. That gives us access to that material anywhere in the world. Basically, I can, from my laptop, look up a client's file and have all of the information in the client's file and all of their medical records right with me on a laptop in an airport or in a hotel in another state or at a deposition. And then we also use that same digitized information at trial. We bring in digital projectors and use them at trial to blow up medical records and put them on screen and highlight them and pull out certain portions. We also rely very heavily on online sources for things like medical research. So if I get a new case, and it might be an area of medicine that I'm not that familiar with, we spend a great deal of time online in various databases and various services looking up that type of information, finding out the medical literature, getting access to all of the studies that have been done in the past and the articles. And that technological aspect, I think, is very important. It can really be of great benefit to a firm. And I think it is becoming more and more common. We see more and more people who are relying on technology in all different types of their practice. But you have to incorporate that into a litigation-type practice or a personal injury-type practice like we have, just the same way you would for other things. We do use it quite a bit in trial, which is very effective, I think.
Although a MedMal case can be challenging, can it be rewarding to the client in the end?
Yeah, it definitely can. I think it's rewarding for the attorney as well. Like I said before, our clients here, and I think as for most medical malpractice practitioners, our clients are facing some of the biggest challenges of their lives. And when you can help that person come through on the other side and get some compensation and be able to help put their life back together, it's very important and rewarding for the client to be able to do that. There's a certain level of vindication that they feel that they were right and that somebody made a mistake that has negatively impacted their life. So they do get that sense of vindication. They do get the sense of being able to put their life back together. They may be able to, say, replace an income stream that has been lost because they've been disabled from work. They may be able to try to secure their child's future if, say, the loved one or a head of a household has been killed. So it's very, very important for the clients. And it's also been very personal fulfilling for me, and I believe other attorneys who do this type of work.
So finally, Pat, what advice do you have for attorneys out there who take on med mal cases? How can they prepare for these challenges?
Well, I'd suggest they do their homework very carefully. And by that, I mean, research all of the issues. Talk with other attorneys that do medical malpractice work. You can learn a lot from people that do have the experience and the knowledge in the area. If you go into it fully prepared, meaning you've done your homework, you've talked to people, you know what you're up against, and I think other attorneys, can handle some of these cases. What they should know is that you can't get into it blindly. You got to know what you're doing. And in many, many cases, it is simply the best route to look for an experienced attorney and try to refer that matter to him or her.
Well, that about does it for this edition of the Landy Law Letter. And remember, you can subscribe to all the editions of this podcast at www.legaltalknetwork.com or on iTunes. And a very special thanks to Patrick Barry for being with me today. Patrick, if listeners want to find out more about what we discussed here today, what's your contact information or website for any resource information?
Sure, John, and thank you for that. My law firm is called Morowitz and Barry. We're in Providence, Rhode Island. We practice primarily in Providence and Rhode Island, but a little bit in Massachusetts as well. Our phone number is 401-274-5556, and our website can be found at www.morowitzandbarry.com.
Thanks again, Patrick. In future discussions, we will be talking more about risk management and how to avoid claims, as well as other aspects of running a successful law practice. And of course, you can contact Landy Insurance at www.landy.com and click on attorneys. You can also call me directly at 800-336-5422, extension 117. We will see you next time on the Landy Law Letter.
The views expressed by the participants of this program are their own and do not represent the views of, nor are they endorsed by, Legal Talk Network, its officers, directors, employees, agents, representatives, shareholders, and subsidiaries. None of the content should be considered legal advice. As always, consult a lawyer. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Landy Law Letter. Join us again next month with John Torvey for another great topic here on the Legal Talk Network.